This is Simply Lowai, and you're listening to The Expert with a Heart. Powered by Timber Media.
Well, yeah. In fact, the association is with IMPL is before even IMPL was existing. Lowai and I were colleagues in a company called India.com, and we were not close colleagues, but I attended a talk by Lowai. I'm not sure if even he knows when I got, you know, kind of converted to wanting to do something with my money. At that point, I had no thoughts about, you know, any saving or, you know, except the basic ones like recurring deposit and the basic things. And in my opinion, my salary was not so much that I could start saving. This is, I think, one of the biggest fallacies even today I see in children who have just started earning. So I listened to this talk and that Lowai gave to his colleagues in the office. And one thing that he said stayed with me. So he said that, do you imagine you don't have enough money to save? And it was exactly what I was thinking. And he said, do you have 2,000 rupees? And obviously a lot of us and nearly everyone, we did have 2,000 rupees. So he said, you can start with 2,000 rupees. And it was a very small thing, but it had a very big impact on me. And I started thinking about, and fairly quickly, I talked to Lowai and I said, okay, here are my 2,000 rupees, what can I do? And really, it started with that. Yeah, I realized then that I was very ill-prepared to do anything with my money or, you know, make it grow. I'd been reading and by then, and I knew that, you know, you should, yeah, apart from working for your money, you have to make your money work for you. Possibly, I may have heard it from one of the finance guys or... But again, that also influenced me, and I decided that I need help because I didn't have, the knowledge, or at that point, it was not so easy to, you know, gather knowledge of things that you did not previously think about. Possibly I was lazy, I don't know. But I thought that Lowai could help me, you know, even understand how it works, and maybe I could learn from him as well as to how, apart from him managing the money that he offered, that was the thing that he offered to us. But my motivation was that maybe I could learn about it as well. Yes, so then I met Lowai. I hadn't yet met Prakash. Our relationship, our investment journey had already started in a very minimal way. 2,000 rupees really. So... when I met Prakash, among the first few things we discussed, strangely, was money and how, you know, what we think about it. It wasn't a discussion on money, but I happened to mention that I invest through a colleague of mine who's now started a company. Then Lowai had started a company, and Prakash was immediately interested because, unlike me, he was very evolved, much more evolved in terms of wanting to, you know, save and invest and see where it goes. He had already thought about it. He had done some things, and some had worked in his family, some had not worked in his family. So he immediately asked for Lowai's number, and those were the times when Lowai would come himself for meeting. So I think he was working in Wipro then, and he met him in the ITPL office.
Just before that, I just moved to Bangalore. Before that, I was in Delhi, and, you know, I was in US for a year or so. At that time, my father said, just write me some blank checks. And there is a neighborhood investment office, and I put in some money. That was a dot-com boom. Okay? So he said, maybe there is a good option there. So I gave him 12 blank checks because the money in the bank was, salary was not being utilized. So when I came back and I saw that money became big, of course, later on I realized that I was very lucky because of the dot-com boom. And so I was very fascinated that, you know, there is more to it. Obviously, my father never... later on, he invested more money, and then the market went down, he never went back. So that was the end of his journey. But then I realized there was something more to it, you know, something more to investment than just putting it in post offices. And of course, the economy opened up, there were opportunities, and you could see that, you know, there's something certainly more to it. And when I met Supriya, we talked about finances, and that's in, she introduced me to Lowai. So I told Lowai, this was an electronic city, I think. I don't remember, but he came in his Toyota Corolla. I called him and said, this guy is coming to me to be in a Toyota Corolla. You know, are you sure he's the right person? You know, so yes. And that's how we started the journey. And we got married. I mean, though I came to our wedding also. So we got married soon after. And then we continued with Money Matters through his various offices. And, you know, we've always been there when the new office comes. So the first country after we got married, we were in Netherlands, and then that time we had no children. We came back. I think the first real move happened when we had two children. We went to Qatar, so that was the first country we moved. So that was fairly straightforward because Qatar had no tax, and it was quite easy. And we continued our investment, and I made sure that as soon as, I mean, I used to have a habit of saving, and then not just saving, now putting in a lot of money in back into investing. So that sort of helped. The early head start is really what I think really helped me. So when I moved to Qatar also, we continued doing the same. That was not very different. We were just parking a lot of money back in India. That was quite okay. But then we were moving to Denmark. So that's where all the first complexities started. At that time, IMMPL did not have many international offering, or they did not have any international offering, let me put it this way. So we're stuck because a lot of taxation complexities. Denmark is one of the most taxed country in the world, and it's very, very complex in terms of taxation. So at that time, we had to really change a lot of our investments to move from, say, mutual funds to other forms of investment just to keep it compatible. I think the real, if you ask me, the real, the complexity started when we went to Denmark. So once we were there, we still sort of moving in and then say, okay, why not? At that time, they started some international products. They're not into it. And one good thing about this relationship is, since I saw the company grow, and I used to be, why don't you start something outside? Now I want to diversify out of INR and say, do something outside. So true to their, you know, I think nature as a partner, financial partner, they are not very like aggressive, or no, they never came back say, okay, let me find something for you quickly. Unless they were convinced, they will never, even now it's the same. So unless they are convinced, they will never give me something which will work. So they started doing some international products. I think that was not when we were in Denmark. Then we moved to France. We started really building a kind of portfolio outside of India. Also built something in India, continued doing that. Once you know the tax regulation in Denmark, the France was a bit easy in terms of managing. But again, the knowledge of IMMPL helps, because though they may not have many clients in one geography, or they have a lot of clients in different places, so they are able to at least get some insights into how best to manage these kind of complexities. So we just kept on doing this. Now we are at a point. And now in Uganda, that brings other issues in terms of financial investing, because not all countries are seen as fair and transparent. So there are a limit of how many investments we can do, what type of investments we can do, what type of compliances. That adds a different type of complexity. So now we are facing other type of complexity where we have restrictions versus options. But still, I think we are able to find a plan forward. I think the journey is 2020 with her. When the next year will be 25 years for Supriya and 24 years for me and us as a family. I don't think that we are done yet, you know, I feel, yeah.
What we typically do is we start with a financial planning exercise, And we try and build all kinds of scenarios which the client might be thinking through. And obviously, the situation could change a couple of years later. And, you know, the transitions or the geographical changes will happen. But keeping in mind what is upcoming is something that helps us decide the course forward along with the client. So whether it is the regulatory compliance framework and therefore if we need to change the investment options, and making sure that everything is in place before we tell them that this product is suitable, this is okay for you, is how we proceed. And obviously, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen in the future. In their case, they move different countries, different jobs, and situations happened, kids happened. But every time it's about replanning, revisiting the original plan and seeing where we were and what do we need to get to next. And we help in that.
It's a very interesting point. It's something which, independent of Time and PL, I've been thinking about retirement since, I think, 2019, 2019.
Yeah.
So, in terms of what would it look like? Obviously, you know, things that you started.
So, planning for retirement much before that, but thinking about retirement
is something which we started at least as an idea. So, then COVID happened. And then during COVID, for some reason, we were like left alone from IMPL, a bit of a gap with IMPL in terms of communication and everything. So I was doing my own lot of scenarios on retirement and, you know, I created my own models and looked at other things. And then one day I realized I can retire any day. And that actually, the thought that I can retire gave me a lot of freedom in my mind, you know. So then she would come and tell me, then don't stress, okay, about money anymore, you know. So, but still I do. Well, though the retirement could mean maybe anywhere, or it's not about place, it's not about time. It is about, for me, it's about having the peace of mind that you can cover a significant amount of financial needs. But at the same time, doesn't mean that you may have to quit or anything. You may still do. I mean, that doesn't stop me from doing something. So I now consider that every year I work is just a bonus. So let's see how far it goes. And in fact, that's from now to even, I mean, things change, things improve. But overall, I don't think our fundamental thinking hasn't changed. So
in this case, yeah, for Prakash, he's the one who's been, because we've been moving with his job, I have not really been working continuously for all those years, also the children, etc. So it's only now in the last 2 years that I've gotten back and I'm trying to, you know, get back into the workforce. But in retirement, I have to say that I am really not in agreement with Prakash, because I feel that he will be miserable if he retires. But he feels he needs the time to think about what he wants to do. I appreciate that. And that kind of retirement, I think that it should be considered by everyone. When you're not constrained by how much you will earn. Of course, if you earn something, my belief is that, you know, free work is not going to give you that much of a satisfaction. But that's only my personal opinion. Many people do charity work and they are very happy. But for Prakash, I feel, yeah, and for us as a family, it's very important that he's gainfully employed. Because he's really, I mean, you know, he has a lot to offer. And I think it'll be a total waste if he just retires and then he'll look for projects and then, you know,
So, I didn't have an example you quoted was, I mean, really, we didn't have such a tough transition. But let me tell you that name of advisor is that, you know, I have know about, you know, SEBI, after a point in time, the SEBI came up with the idea of the financial advisory. They put out a white paper and they talk about, you know, what should financial advisory do. I read through the white paper when they put it on draft. So I was, in the time, very clued in with all the things about financial advisory, etc. But one thing I'll say unique about IMPL is that, you know, it's kind of complete in terms of what they offer and what they can do. So they have a big, they have clients with various needs, different expectations, and they are able to manage that. So, although I don't know whether whether I'll have a tough situation, but I know for sure that if there is one, one person I will, I mean, we will consult. I mean, is IMMPL. For example, let's not make it a tough situation. Our daughter will finish her school 2026 and she will go to college. So now we have been discussing about this subject for a while now. You know, it may not be it may not be tough in that sense, but it's tough in terms of financially planning, because depending on where you go, you need to plan different amounts. You need to plan different. And then we have a son who will follow very soon. So we need to. So in that sense, you know, we start talking about these kind of subjects in terms of how to manage all that. And of course, you know, IMMPL, I'm sure if we had to do something like even selling a house or buying a house or something, we'll talk about this to IMMPL for sure, you know. Okay, so maybe if I can start, you know, when we started at IMMPL, OI used to just hire graduates from the colleges, yes, yeah. And then we saw them as kids who just started off. Now they are entrepreneurs having their own company. So we didn't have to go anywhere, you know. So we had so many advisors, and many of those advisors will either join a competition or join someone. They'll say, okay, maybe we can help you. I think, and as I said, I have an independent network or independent knowledge on this subject on what a kind of fee-only financial advisors can give. But what I find, IMMPL, I mean, unbeatable is the research team. We had instances where our front end was not as good. There were times, for sure. But I know they had a very strong research team. So being part of the early customers, you know, we had access to Lowi. And Lowi would take action very quickly. And we also had access to their back-end team directly when we come and meet. And, you know, we were able to make that happen. So fundamentally, I think we know the systems are strong. What Lowi has put in place in terms of processes are very strong, which was very hard to match. We just had to figure out whether it's an individual issue or is a systemic issue. And most of the time, it turned out to be an individual. Or just the time, maybe COVID, you know, there are many factors which were there. But overall, I think, you know, the systems and process is very robust and very, very correct.
So typically one is the financial plan, which is the core of our work. But other than that, we have also financial transitionists on the teams, right? And what it entails us or gives us as a background is that we understand the psychological nuances of financial decisions, because every financial decisions has a background to it. And depending on the circumstances of the clients, depending on what they're going through, the emotional challenges, also impacts their financial decisions. And as an advisor, we need to handhold the clients during those times as well. So especially upheavals is what you're talking about. That's a time when people tend to become frozen, right? They don't know what to do next. And at that time, a trusted advisor or a trusted person who understands where they are, what their situation is, and telling them to take the baby steps possibly to the financial decisions because it's in their interest to move a little forward, is what an advisor's core responsibility is. So, of course, when transitions happen in the client's, and everybody goes through transitions in their life. Some are really flow transitions, so you know you don't really feel it. The advisor, because they understand and because of our exposure across different clients, we have that inherent, I'm saying inherent, but we understand the nuances of what the client might be feeling or might be going through. Or we can add value by saying that, you know, I understand. This is what you might be thinking about. They might not even have thought it as a point to discuss with the advisor. But when we raise it, they say, yeah, I mean, that is what was on my mind, but it was not spoken. And then take the financial decisions which is in their best interest.
Yeah, so at the moment, our daughter is poised to start university next year, and we are hoping. So we've been talking about, obviously, we realized in some part when they were in school that this will be 2026. It was at that time, it seemed to be like a long way off. But here we are already. So we've been talking about saving up for their education, not knowing where they will go. But, you know, the maximum amount that we want to spend on their education. Seeing that we are living out of the country and possibly they may want to study out of the country. As we are closer to, you know, the year where our daughter will, you know, start university, we realized that maybe what we were thinking of was just the, you know, fee and a few extras. But closer now, from a closer point of view, it seems that it's going to be a lot more. There are multiple trips back home, multiple trips to visit them, maybe housing which has to be changed, and some emergencies, some sicknesses. You never know, you know, where you are. Emergency room visits, God forbid. But, you know, it's... So, one thing that we would, you know, really recommend all parents to do is that, you know, think about what all costs are you likely to incur and, you know, accordingly set aside and then be prepared to top up that as well. Another thing that we've both been discussing is that we should put a cap to this amount. I think our children really need that kind of hard stop. That, you know, this is what we're willing to do for you and that's all. We don't want to touch any further funds because we do have another child and who will require a similar amount or more. So, it's tempting as a parent to say, okay, you know, we'll do this as well. Okay, yeah, you know, we'll pay for this as well. But I think that we have to learn ourselves to be a bit hard-hearted, that we will say that this is like... We have saved this much and that's all you're going to get. Can we pay more? Yes, maybe. But maybe we should. We do not want to do that. This especially for the well-heeled parents who are thinking of sending their children abroad, whether, you know, they have a concrete plan or not, or, you know, it's just that because peer pressure and so on.
I think, yeah, I mean, more or less in terms of sentiments, yes. But in terms of financial, I think it requires a lot more coordination. I'm sure this is where Anupama herself, I mean, personally has been quite involved because this is the next transition coming up. So as a role as a planner. So one thing, what I say is that, you know, when you're planning for a few years down the line, it's very different from next year. So then it is all about then, okay, you may have saved some money, but then it's all about disbursing that money, making it available. If you have a money lying in a house somewhere and you can't, I mean, when you need money, you can't sell, it doesn't really work. So you need the money in your access. At the same time, be pragmatic about what is your cash flow by 6 months, by year, when actually you need it. So it's very, very, I mean, from a very macro planning, now we are coming into a micro planning. So I think that's the part of that is that, you know, you can plan for longer things, but you need to make sure that as you get closer, maybe 2 years, you need to start that, is the money available? Can I take it out now if I need it? You know, that type of thing. And then we start looking to see what to do in a short term. How do we even maximize rather than keeping it under my bed? What is still can make me money outside but still available? So in terms of discussing liquidity versus some gains. And yeah, so these are the type of discussion which we need to have as we are getting closer to, I would say, any big goal, you know. Yeah. You can plan for it, but once you get closer, you need to start executing it. And that's where you can see some opportunities there. Well, I think it's a mixed bag, you know. So I always give the example of this classic marshmallow test, which like Harvard did it for 5-year-olds. They say, okay, we don't even eat marshmallow, we are vegetarians. But that's apart from that, you know, the idea was to save and delay the gratification. So we try to bring them to that. Just recently, we talked about the idea of starting their investment journeys, getting them started. I'm here because of I started at the age of 22 or 23 maybe, but if they can start even earlier, I mean, they may be even higher. I firmly believe that, you know, money has they say money attracts money is true actually. It's a snowball effect. Maybe the first 1 crore takes 10 years. After that, the subsequent takes much less. There's no way to explain. The only way to explain is the money attracts money. So, I mean, of course, there is here, there's a method behind the madness. You cannot just gamble it away. But if you do all the right thing for 10 years, your compounding will start benefit. So compounding will start coming later. So in that sense, you know, you start off as a, if you start off early, then it helps. So we are trying to do that. And the one other thing about financial planning, I would say that, you know, I don't want to be gender in this, but my daughter and my wife, is the numbers. You know, if you put so many zeros, you know, she will get lost and my daughter also gets lost. So nothing to do with you. I mean, that's why I'm very, very particular. But, you know, but it's true that, you know, the issue about financial planning is there has to be a different way to represent how these numbers are making an impact. If I say someone that, you know, out of the 70, it becomes 7.80, 7 or 80 doesn't make much of a difference, but it makes a big difference in terms of numbers, right? So how to make this easy, I think it's not just about giving basic, it's also about getting a feel for the money. The inflation, we try to tell them about inflation, which I think the next, this generation, like unlike ours, will save less, much less, because the bonds are very high. You know, the inflation from the lifestyle inflation is very high. So it's going to be very hard for them.
They see that their dad educates himself on, you know, where to invest and what to do. And he reads a lot. And our hope is that they are inspired. But at the very least, they think about money and they are not completely, you know, clueless about what costs how much and, you know, all of it. So we are happy with that at the moment. We see that our daughter, as she, you know, starts university, will have to suddenly manage her own money. And that will be a challenge initially. We are looking forward to that.
One, typically we get the kids involved in discussions as soon as their investments get started. So starting from the first salary they start getting, the parents want us to start talking to them. And whether it is insurance planning, whether looking at the salary and figuring out as to how they are supposed to file their taxes, to save taxes, and what they need to speak to their employer to be able to get the best deal, is what the first few discussions are. And when they start saving, then they're looking at these, possibly the ATC benefit. Of course, that's changed now. But looking at, okay, when they, how do I get started with investment? So we start helping them out and guiding them. And therefore, it starts becoming a kind of a, again, a relationship set from giving them advice. And then it continues, and we are fortunate because now that 25 years, so therefore now we are moving second generation. But just adding on to the point, every client, and within the couple itself, we see that, you know, some people are very comfortable with numbers. Kids are not comfortable with numbers. But giving them just the perspective or the roadmap and giving them, showing them the bigger picture, suddenly it's more clear to them. So it may not be going into the number crunching per se, but giving them guidance as to what is achievable, what is not, how do you need to fix the gaps, or how you can do it. What are the returns you should be looking at? Suddenly, it, you know, helps them set the path.
Well, I think it started off with my brother-in-law family. You know, my brother-in-law. So I joke with Lowai that if IMPL was Amway, I would have been a millionaire right now. But
once again, it was me the first.
Yeah, you would have been the billionaire.
Okay. Yes, I'm the referral to referring him, and it started there.
Yeah.
But just here, I want to add before Prakash says that Prakash actually he among his friends or among our family, he has a very good standing in terms of understanding. So when he recommends somebody or something, it's taken seriously. And it's amazing how seriously it's taken. We have never counted how many people have joined and invested with IMPL after he has talked to them and after we have talked to them. But it's like it will be more than 10, at least. 10 families, at least. I think
one is direct and the other, I believe, is the people they refer. And that I think is a big story. Is not about us or me. It's about...
what IMPL is offering, touch that they are able to it's not like we force them to invest with them. We say that, you know, meet them because they've really helped us. And that's how it starts, really. And
Also, I think, you know, people actually, if you ask me, there's a latent need for people to for advisory, which people are very hesitant, first of all, because this whole field has been with vested interest, insurance agents selling, mis-selling things versus people outside the postdoc. So there is, this whole field is very, very, and recently the SEBI has done a lot, but it's not very widely known or popular. So this field is something which is actually need for a lot of proper advisory. And I feel that, you know, it's just that if you are the right type of advisor, really have the client's interest, and it can make a big difference, actually.
Right.
I think it's a trust and comfort. I think mainly it's comfort. That I know that my money is safe. I know that somebody is thinking about, you know, the growth of my money.
I think trust and competence. I think competence for me is stands out because nothing stopped me from going anywhere, but I see the competence in the company. I think it's committed to the customer success. I would say that they're really committed to customers.
Yeah, it's a confidence in their abilities, which helps me, like, without thinking, recommend them to anybody who's close to me or not close to me.
This is Simply Lowy, and you're listening to The Expert with a Heart. Powered by Timber Media.